problem isn't with the album sales. The problem is with the fans. The problem is the fans are not going out there. They want to sit here and walk around and they want to sit here and say, I'm a fan of this. I support real hip-hop, RZA, Wu-Tang, you know, all these guys. And they don't put their money behind it knowing that they invest to get the good hip-hop that they want.
Today on Dead End Hip Hop, be straight from the D, bring you the latest on the Hip Hop Minute, and of course the infamous Dead End Hip Hop Conversation. Keep it locked. Hip-Hop Minute.
What up, though, man? This B hit you with the Hip-Hop Minute. Make sure you check out for that John Connor, The Salvation, dropping July 12th, man. Good artist from the Midwest, Flint, Michigan representing, man. John Connor, cop that. Also, make sure you cop that Kendrick Lamar, Cannabis Lyrical Law, man. We got the reviews coming up this Thursday, man. Make sure y'all check out. I know fans been asking about it. Tweet me, Ken, and everybody about it, man. Make sure you subscribe to our channel, man. We've been very blessed having over 700 subscribers and hopefully getting more, man. Make sure y'all stay tuned, man. Free giveaways coming soon. Try and get to 1,000 subscribers, man. So make sure y'all click on that subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, man. Also, Jean Grey. I know people haven't been talking about it, man. Cookies and Comas. Check out that mixtape, man. That joint is hot from one of the illest female MCs in the game, man. Jean Grey. Make sure y'all check out for that, man. Dead End Hip-Hop.
Internet era, man, it made it so easy just to get what you want, the whole thing, free, not free, do you want to support, you don't want to support. So, you know, album sales is honestly going to suffer.
But see, the thing is this, it all turned maybe around 88 and 1990, because a lot of the major corporations had problems taking rap artists and generating album sales. The record labels that were able to actually sell albums, you had your Def Jam, you had Jive, you had Select, you had Cold Chillin'. All these labels, all these smaller independent labels were making a majority of the album sales, mainly because they had the street connection, they had the DJs that they can go to, they had the mom and pop stores they can go through. They would sell. Corporations could not do that, but a lot of the bigger corporations did bankroll the smaller labels that I just named. Where it turned around 1980 and 1990 when you had Robert Van Winkle and Stanley Burrell. And MC Hammer in The Source received, what, a one? And it caused a great divide between the purest hip-hop and now what we have, commercial hip-hop. Because now the corporations found guys and they found a way to say, hey, we know how to make money with what people call mediocre hip-hop. And now mediocrity entered hip-hop at that point, and it became all about album sales, and those critically acclaimed albums were a little bit less important.
You know, I was watching the behind the music of Ice Cube, and you know, and I feel you that corporations did know how to push mediocrity and make album sales, but at the same time, NWA didn't have no radio spin, they didn't have no video, they didn't have nothing, and they went platinum. Why? Because they had the message of the streets. You know what I'm saying? They were talking the real shit that was happening in L.A.
They're also critically acclaimed, though.
And they were critically acclaimed.
But that's
what we're missing now.
People were still buying the albums then, because you had some singles that were driving the album sales.
Except with N.W.A. They didn't have singles.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. Yeah.
But I think
N.W.A. had an advantage, though. Because you still had the white audience looking at you guys because you were dangerous. So then you had the rebellious kids who wanted to go buy this shit. One, because you had motherfuckers calling themselves niggas with attitudes.
But you know what, Mike?
So you still had a white audience and you had a black audience.
But you know what? I think they struck when the iron was hot, because all that shit that was happening in L.A., they were the voice of that shit.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So they had these guys on lock. Then they had the rebellious teens on lock. So they still had two audiences. So it was a little bit easier for them to get their albums out. You know, because, of course, we were all buzzing about that shit. I mean, when I was in California, I didn't live in L.A. or nothing like that. But when they came out, they were instantly, like, the new shit. Like, that's what Yeah. No, no more Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
You can't listen to Fresh Prince. No more Rob Bass. Yeah. No, you're not listening to that shit no more. You need to be listening to N.W.A. Like, this is where it's at. And that was, what, fifth grade?
Nope. Sixth grade? It was like they was preaching the streets, like, man.
And we didn't know shit about the streets, but you still had to put that shit on.
That was like your news. That was your news. Yeah. That was your news, man.
It was, yeah.
It was your news. That's what it was.
It was your news. But you still had to buy it. Because there was no internet.
Right.
So exactly. Right around, what, 94, 95, the internet came along. Then you had Napster. And then all of a sudden, people could get their hands on the album without buying the album.
So pretty much.
And they kind of used it like Needle Drop said. Like Needle Drop said, they used the internet. Well, now it's become more of a listening booth. Now they just wanted to get stuff. Because the labels at that time, they were basically raping people. Because they never really brought the prices down. They took away the singles, which were driving album sales. Because people were starting to realize, hey, you guys are giving me good singles, but when I buy this album, it's trash. But if it was critically acclaimed, give me the whole album, because I know you're saying that there's more great stuff on this particular album. But the thing was, so they took away the singles, they never dropped the price, so people rebelled. They went to the internet when the internet technology improved, where you can get away from dial-up and you can use the high speed, and it was over. So all of a sudden, the album sales went down when we entered the digital age. And I think that's where we started to lose album sales almost as a qualifying measuring stick for a particular artist.
Oh, go ahead, B.
Album. So what you're pretty much saying is pretty much the internet killed Critically Acclaimed stamp album.
I think the internet had an effect on the album sales. I don't think it took away albums that are actually good out there, but what happened was the albums that were critically acclaimed, nobody would go buy it because they would just go to the internet and download it. The problem isn't with the album sales, the problem is with the fans. The problem is the fans are not going out there. They want to sit here and walk around and they want to sit here and say, I'm a fan of this. I support real hip hop, RZA, Wu-Tang, you know, all these guys, and they don't put their money behind it knowing that they invest to get the good hip hop that they want. And until they start doing that, maybe they just need to shut up. Shut up complaining about the fact that there's not any good hip hop out there, you know, even though they're telling you it is sometimes when you go find to the blogs or you go to Complex or all these other people say, hey, this is a really good album, but you're not going to buy it. You're not buying, you're not supporting, you're not investing, you're not giving them the money to bring and make more music for you. It's not album sales. It's not the fact that it's not labeled critically. It claims the people aren't buying and they're not supporting it. And that's the bullshit that you see out there on the internet. Because nobody's putting their money behind their mouth.
Like they used to.
So I think album sales could matter if you got all these guys that actually have all of these so-called fans that don't buy their records.
You know, I've never really cared that much about critically acclaimed albums. I'm not going to go to MTV.com. and go read through and see what they're talking about. Because for something to be critically acclaimed, it takes a lot of things. Like, actually, I guess it really depends on what we're calling critically acclaimed then. Are we calling an album critically acclaimed even if it's a random underground album that just got a lot of buzz on the internet?
Yeah, that's right.
Or are we calling critically acclaimed shit that's getting into Rolling Stone and they're talking about it? I think there's a divide there. There's a definition issue.
Is it because of,
because what I call critically acclaimed, to me, it's just, is a lot of people talking about it. Like, Tyler would be critically acclaimed. Even though he's not in Rolling Stone, or maybe he is now, but he wasn't before. He's not in major magazines. His face isn't all over the place, but he still put out a critically acclaimed album. What? If something is critically acclaimed, a lot of critics are saying it's good. We don't really count as critics. We're not, you know, maybe to some people, we don't really count as critics. We're more peers, like you said. But are places like Pitchfork, are they saying this album is great? That would be critically acclaimed. People like, you know, like major places like that.
I would look to the major source publications, you know, as a source of I guess, if a major publication say, you know, this album is critically acclaimed,
right?
I would take that as valid, you know what I'm saying? So I would take that, you know what I'm saying?
That's where we differ. I don't.
You would?
All.
You would not?
Never. I don't really pick up magazines for that kind of stuff.
No,
anymore.
I don't either.
I just go to the same blogs I always go to, check out what they're saying, listen to a track or two. If I like it, bam, it's mine. I'm not going to go pick up the Source, flip through, and say, you know what? The Source gave this album a 9 out of 10, therefore I'm going to go check it out. No, because...
Not no more.
You know what? I still look at the Source to look at the mics. And
really?
I still look at them.
They used to be.
They're not. And I 100% agree with y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same. But I still look at it because I'm interested to see what other people's opinions are. Because my opinion isn't the only... You know, my opinion is the only one that counts to me. But I like to see what other people think. Like, that's why I always ask questions. You know what I'm saying? Even before we even do our own album reviews, I'm like, so you really like that? You know what I'm saying? Because I like to know. I'm a person that I like knowledge. I like to know what other people think, because I want to know where my brain is at.
But a lot of times with critics like that, like The Source, they're not really critics, because there's a lot of extra shit that goes into those reviews. With us, you're getting what you fucking get. Because that's why I say we're not really critics. We're fucking basically nobodies that are, you know, telling you what we happen to like. With critics, it's different because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah. With The Source, I mean, I know y'all remember the M. Benzino battle. Mm-hmm. He laid it out for you.
Yep.
Benzino was giving him two mics.
Yep.
And then he was giving his own group fucking five mics. Yep. So therefore, so it's like, what are you getting there? You're getting a bullshit rating. So you can't really trust those kind of places. Yeah. So I don't listen to those. That's why I say, when it comes to critically acclaimed albums, if we're talking about critically acclaimed by major publications, to me, they don't fucking matter. Because I don't really know who looks at those anymore.
I don't think anybody really does anymore, but that has a lot to do with the new internet age. But let me ask you this. Does critically acclaimed matter to you at all?
It depends on the critic. Because, like I said, with Pitchfork, if they're telling me that something is a 9.5 out of 10, yeah, I'll probably go be like, oh, I'm going to go check this out and see what's going on with it. I'll tell you typically what makes me go get an album. If I'm going on a blog and they mention somebody that I've never heard of, I'll check them out. If the majority of the comments are like, this dude's fucking dope, those are the people. So therefore, I have more reason to listen to them, because they have nothing to gain. They have nothing to lose. A publication is completely different. So if a bunch of people are buzzing about something, that's when I go check it out. Because, you know, if we're all on a blog, all five of us, and four of us say something's good, we have nothing to gain from that.
Piggyback off Mikey, I'm kind of like with the people. Like, if I see something and I see people commenting and liking it so much, I don't really go with The Source no more like I used to, man. The Source used to be like my hip-hop Bible in the late 80s, early 90s, man. Like, if they say an album was four mics, I'm buying it. I don't care if I didn't hear a single or not. So, yeah, but right
true.
Now, yeah.
That is true.
Right.
Now,
it got to come from the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, y'all, my peers, other people, if I read on the blogs, they say, hey, yo, check this out. I mean, I got like about four albums tossed my way that I liked a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's to the people. I listen to the people, man. I don't really listen to the magazines and Rolling Stones.
You definitely can't always take these people as valid music critics, because a lot of times, and I've learned this from experience, a lot of times those motherfuckers really don't know that much about music. They're just journalists. You know, like fuck, like one of my favorite, you know, Company Flow lines. You know, when sales control stats, I place no faith in the majority. You know, when we're looking at stuff like that, you can't just say that just because something is selling a lot, it means it's good. You also can't say just because a bunch of critics are saying it's good, that it's good. You know, that doesn't mean anything.
It's like a double
because just like people always say, if we were looking at stuff based on either critically acclaimed or album sales, we wouldn't have some of the best rappers of all time in our vocabulary. We wouldn't have KRS-One's. KRS-One has never had a platinum album, has he? Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think Rakim has either.
No.
You know, so again, when sales control stats, I place no faith in the majority. You can't look at the majority and say, those motherfuckers know what they're talking about. Because 9 times out of 10, they don't.
So basically what you're saying is, no form of a statistical measure can measure the greatness of an artist or an album.
Perfect. Not professionally. Nope. Not professionally. You have to go by the people.